sure hope I have a Club Shay Shay after this year.
It's going to be in a dimension it's never been in.
Yeah, it's going to be.
The greatest thing floating in 2024.
I might be out of business.
Mark the words. No way. In a whole different realm of business. Oprah coming next. Once I establish this as a place of truth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch. Watch. God's people ain't that few.
Welcome back to Occult Symbolism of Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisup. Today we're going to talk about Cat Williams and his recent appearance on a show. What's the show called? Shannon Sharpe's show. I had never heard about it until this thing came out. Club Shay Shay. There we go. You can watch the full thing on YouTube. It's approximately 3 hours. Today, my goal for you, my friends, is to pull out the relevant Red Pill-esque, Truther-esque, Hollywood pop culture conspiracy-esque comments. Because I know some of you guys, like I am a huge fan of Cat Williams. As you probably heard, I do another show called Breaking Social Norms with my wife. And I think it was not even 2 weeks ago, I did a great Cat Williams impersonation. Little did I know he would rise to be the most talked about show of the whole year thus far. So today, we're going to unpack Cat Williams's, you know, this guy's been plugged into a lot of powerful people. He's been at the top of the game for a long time. He knows some things, right? And I know a lot of people say, well, the guy's, he's always getting arrested and he's on drugs. And that's, and his response to that would be, yeah, that's because that's what the system is doing. And you'll notice that none of those things actually do add up. Because he's a guy who funds and designs and creates his own comedy specials, whereas other people need whole teams of folks to take care of that for them. You know, hey, I don't know the guy personally, but I wanted to pull out some clips from this show because I know some of you guys aren't going to listen to it. You're like, man, I'm not listening to no 3-hour interview. You know, maybe you don't like Cat Williams or maybe you don't know who he is even. I'm a big Cat Williams fan over here, okay? So I wanted to pull it out and you, if you follow my show, which you better be subscribed to the show, cause that's all I talk about here is conspiracies, secret societies, Hollywood, pop culture, the Illuminati. This is all in my wheelhouse. All right. So subscribe to the show, but I already published, I think I've done 3 episodes this week. I'm exhausted and I got a big appearance I'm doing tomorrow. More to come on that. But, this is the weekend. I got to catch up with my personal life, so I don't have a ton of time, but I wanted to, I have to go through this. I have to, all right? We have to talk about it, and I wanted to pull out these clips while people are talking about it. So let's go. Without further ado, the first clip I'm going to play to you, Cat Williams is going to tell you that there's this other actor, Ricky Smiley, and apparently there was some contention between the two of these guys because there was a role Cat Williams did in a movie called Friday After Next as a Money Mike. And this is many years ago. Some of you guys, it's probably too old for you guys. A great movie. It was hilarious. I remember me and my friends, we'd laugh about it. Let me check my Palm Pilot. You know, like guys were like, what the hell's a Palm Pilot? It's a dated joke now, but it was hilarious in the year 2002 or whatever. But he's going to talk about this actor, Ricky Smiley, about how Ricky Smiley is claiming that he was supposed to be this pimp character, Money Mike. But Kat says, listen to what Kat says. He says, this is why people believe in rituals. Take a listen.
Sad. He was just that bitter when we were shooting it. He told everybody, it should have been my role. Everybody on the scene. Why do you think no cast member has ever said anything?
He couldn't have played that role like you. I thought he
Sir,
was...
Sir, no one... Why no... He was with KD. He beat up Terry Crews. Why nobody know this story? You talking about in Hollywood, they switched off roles. You take this and he, what? So Ricky Smiley knows this. And I don't know why he would lose a child and come on the air and start lying. That's why people believe in rituals right there. It's because, well, why would he lie? I don't know why liars lie. But I can tell you this. We auditioned in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I was audition number 201. 200 black comedians auditioned for the role of Money Mike with me. You're saying all 201 of us was auditioning and you had already had the role and had already shot the role in 4 days? The truth of the matter is, the Money Mike in the original script got raped in the bathroom, and that's what Ricky Smiley was okay with. Cat Williams had to take the risk in front of the studios and the cast and our powers that be in his very first movie and say respectfully, humbly, guys, if we're talking about anything else, I have no credibility and I have no pull. But we're talking about comedy,
right,
where I have all the credibility and all the pull. The problem with Friday After Next is we're trying to make a classic comedy. And this comedy involves a rape. And rape is never funny, no matter who it happens to or what the circumstances are. If you would allow me to allow us to do this movie without a black man getting raped in it, I promise you that it will be twice as funny as it would be with him getting raped.
Now, isn't that interesting? Kat said the original script, Money Mike was supposed to get raped. Oh, I should have gave you guys a trigger warning. There's going to be all kinds of curse words and all kinds of stuff on this show. So if you're easily offended, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to buckle up today. I know that sounds callous. I don't mean it that way. I know some of you guys, based on my surveys and analytics, about 20% of you guys aren't cool with swear words. So I'm just letting you know today's going to have lots of them. All right. So proceed at your own discretion. Maybe you got kids in the car, whatever. I'm trying to give you that forewarning. All right. So Kat said that the original script, Money Mike, this pimp character that he played, was getting raped. And he said to the executives, look, I'm not doing that. And he said, rape's never funny. And Kat Williams, he's always right, it seems. He was right about that. And this was arguably the beginning of his... what do we say? I don't know if discrimination is the right word, but his issues he's had with the big system, with the big Hollywood system, okay? Then on another clip, you know, roughly 20 minutes in now to the show, he talks about selling the soul. Something we just talked about with the Roseanne Barr selling her soul, which her words, not mine. I just did a full expose from her book about 2 weeks ago-ish. And he talks about how Kevin Hart and how, because there's a lot of celebrities get aired out on this thing, right? And there's no way we can cover every bit of salacious little pop culture beef that he brings up. In the conclusion, I'll try to wrap up some of the ideas there, though. But he talks about Kevin Hart and how he lied about coming up in comedy on the East Coast, yet somehow he ended up in L.A. scoring all these roles all these years. And the implication here is that Kevin Hart sold his soul. We don't know if he's talking about metaphorically. We don't know if he's talking about literally. He talks an awful lot about the devil and selling the soul and the Illuminati in this interview, as he has done in the past for years. I mean, this isn't new for Kat Williams. He's not one of the new red pill celebrity folks. He's been doing this for a long, long time. But listen to what he says about this, because Shannon asked him about being blackballed, and he talks about how what the number one job is for these celebrities that sell their soul. Take a listen.
He just did his documentary with Chris Rock where he shows you that his whole upbringing in comedy was on the East Coast.
Yeah, it was.
So how simultaneously was he here in Los Angeles doing the same thing? It did happen. It didn't happen. And I hate to seem like a petty individual for picking apart lies, but Jussie Smollett gonna keep lying until you say we don't believe you. Like, it's important in the checks and balances of the universe that liars not get to make complete narratives for themselves.
Are you not afraid about being blackballed again? These are some power people.
What do you mean again? These people are not powerful. Satan can't create anything. That includes blessings for his people. That's why, you know what the number one job of somebody that sold their soul in Hollywood is?
What?
Is to act like it didn't happen. They all do the same job. Why do you think Gary Owen can't cross over and he already white and been in comedy for 25 years? If what I say ain't the case. It's a cabal. It's a consortium. They rock with who they rock with and they don't with who they don't. But I'm not scared of being the competition any more than you were when you lined up across from a superior team. Yeah, on paper, they're a better team.
Right.
They have all the assets and resources and we don't. But let us get on the line, boy, and see if that factors in. I guarantee you it won't.
Wow.
Because Shannon Sharp got to be a different person than that other person.
Absolutely.
And he always was. That doesn't change when I change teams. That remains the same. That's how a legacy is built.
So
all of these shortcut takers, they canceled me for talking about Harvey Weinstein before the thing came out, but he offered to suck my penis in front of all my people at my agency. What am I supposed to do? He did all of that. I'm thinking I'm the only black person on the script. I get there, it's three other black guys on there. Woo. Huh.
So you wonder what they did to get that.
I told him no. What y'all do?
Now, isn't this interesting? Shanna asked him about being blackballed, which is a term that comes from Freemasonry. Or the Boule, I think it comes from the Boule, which is like the black Freemason secret society. But Cat Williams, true to character, right, true to self-form, as he has said over the many years, he says he's not scared. He says Satan can't create anything. He's not scared of it. He's got the power of God behind him. He's got the power of God behind him. The number one job of someone who sold their soul, he said, is to act like they haven't done it. And what's really interesting is that all the celebrities he airs out immediately responded on whatever platform they could. Almost every single one of them. And none of them deny it. They poke holes at Cat Williams and they make fun of him and they think he's a liar, but they don't ever come out and say, like, look, I never did that. That's not true. Cat Williams says it's a cabal. He said they rock with who they rock with, and he's not scared of this competition. And about how he was apparently supposed to be one of these guys that gave a BJ to Harvey Weinstein, right? And I don't know this, but Cat Williams claims that he's been trying to expose Harvey Weinstein years before it was official, right? Next clip, he talks about how this cabal, they pay money to keep people's mouths shut so that this thing never comes out, so that they can never be exposed entirely. Take a listen.
Behind my back, I'm nothing. I'm just a regular old comedian that's bitter and jealous. But in my face, no, no, no. The king has walked in and they have to respect it only because I've not taken the shortcuts. I've not been funded. They pay you to not talk about things they don't want you to talk about. They tell you that themselves. I can't do that because Steve told you that he stopped doing stand-up because he has 7 TV shows. The only problem is when he stopped stand-up, he didn't have those 7 TV shows. He stopped stand-up because he got in a comedy battle called the Championship of Stand-Up Comedy with one Cat Williams in Detroit in front of 10,000 people and lost because Cat Williams said he was actually bald and that was a wig. And I went in and that's why he couldn't do stand-up anymore. Imagine him coming to tell you another story where he got so big and it was Bernie and them's fault because they wanted to be movie stars.
Now this is interesting because the Epstein client list that dropped, which I thought was going to be the big, you know, big to-do of 2024, which turns out no it's not. Cat Williams is the big to-do because turns out nobody trusts the mainstream institutions. The courts, the mainstream media, and for justifiable cause. So they probably, you know, the idea is, okay, so you released a bunch of documents, but you're probably keeping away the ones that are really damning to some powerful people. We get a little nibble here and there, but the whole truth won't be revealed. But Cat Williams is on here exposing everything. He said the cabal, the Illuminati, right, they send money to pay people off to keep their mouth shut. And the Epstein email that I had read, because there's, of course, a lot of things being released from the Epstein deal, but the one I saw was they were talking about how they were paying Epstein and Ghislaine were trying to pay people off to come out and lie about other people. And again, it's like using money as a form of coercion to keep the truth suppressed, to keep the secrets from coming out. People use secrets as a way of amassing power and leverage. He says that Steve Harvey lied about Bernie Mac, about how Bernie Mac made it so that he couldn't, so Steve couldn't do comedy anymore. And I remember I watched The Kings of Comedy when it came out. And honestly, I thought Bernie Mac was the only funny comic on the bunch, to be honest. I never thought Cedric was funny, and I never thought the redneck side of comedy. Like, I don't think any of those guys are funny. Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Fox, none of them are that funny. And that goes along with what Cat Williams is saying. He says a lot of these people, these comedians, they're not that funny. And I agree, because I mean, there's a lot of great comics out there, but they're not all over the place like some of these other ones. You know, some of the best comics, of course, Sam Tripoli is one of the best. Sam Tripoli, Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Steph Tolev, there's lots of great comics, but some of them don't get the exposure that Cedric the Entertainer, Jeff Foxworthy, like, it's fine. And maybe it's just not for me, and that's fine. Next clip. Talks about Kevin Hart, and I actually think Kevin Hart's pretty funny. His stand-up isn't the funniest. Like, I definitely wouldn't put him up there with Dave Chappelle or even Cat Williams. I think he's funny. Kevin Hart, talking about how Kevin Hart took a bunch of gay roles, like homosexual roles. And they start talking about Friday After Next and how the cast were talking about how they needed to seize this moment to sort of start blowing up. But it's interesting here because he echoes a lot of the things that Dave Chappelle was saying about how Hollywood tries to insist that these strong black men have to be portrayed as homosexuals. Take a listen.
The dude said the entire time we were filming, I can't play this role. They got a bandana over my nose and my mouth. My family not even gonna know who this is. So yeah, tell your story.
Terry Crews also said that you guys had a lot of conversation, that this was your opportunity and you needed to seize this moment.
Terry had the benefit of having been in some very high profile situations already and took L's. Mm-hmm. Like, he had been in the league, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had done pro wrestling. He had done a lot of things. He had been televised and some things that hadn't worked.
Right.
And this was just fortuitous for him. And now you know what nobody has ever said in the whole industry in 20 years about, you know, the whole Money Mike not getting raped in the bathroom.
Right.
So I understood going in that there's no reason. I lost for a 5-year period, every single movie that Kevin Hart did was a movie that had been on my desk, that all I had said was, just can we take some of this step and fetch it shit out? And then I can do it. Like, it don't need to be overtly homosexual, because I'm not homosexual, right? It doesn't need that
right.
to be funny, right? Mm-hmm. And me saying that and them going, oh, yeah, no problem. And then going to give it to this other guy and having him do it just like it was. And acting like I'm a bad person because I keep standing on my standard. But, yeah, it's interesting. But I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, again, I'm on the winning side of these.
He said every movie that Kevin Hart did over some 5-year period was first offered to Kat. And in the script, there was always some kind of homosexual type thing. And Kat, apparently a respectful-ish kind of way, said, like, look, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. Can we just take that part out? So they just went over to Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart did do it. Next clip. And they're talking about the Friday series, right? Friday After Next. And talking about Chris Tucker, who played Smokey in the first Friday, which was a very, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, Friday was, like, that was all over the place. You know, the soundtrack, everything. It was Friday was life in the 90s. And Chris Tucker, Smokey, 100% made the movie. Like, you don't have Friday's popularity without Smokey. Every one of my friends, everyone I knew who watched it, Smokey was the guy. He was the funniest part of the show. I mean, Big Worm was funny. They actually talk about the guy who plays Big Worm. I thought he was funny. Debo was funny. Like, that's my bug. That's my bug, punk. It was a great movie. But Chris Tucker stole the show. So they talk about if Chris Tucker should come back, and Cat Williams, listen to what he says about Chris Tucker. He's going to talk about him, some of his controversies with Epstein. And he's going to talk about Michael Jackson and a lot of things. Take a listen to what he says.
I wrote it. What I'm saying. I'm saying if I did it and I did a good job at it, you can thank me. I was involved.
Right.
I'm not going to come later on and tell you I never even read the whole script. So how you know what roles? What? What do you mean you never read the like, these guys' whole job is to present something, unfortunately. And I'm just not a presenter. If you ask me a question, I'm just going to tell you the truth of how it went.
Would you be willing to do another Friday?
Cube already asked me to write it. I was supposed to have been writing it. This is what these guys are mad about. Like, we lost some great people before this movie mm-hmm. could come out regardless. Right. And so, yes, there desperately needs to be one. But we miss John Witherspoon in a way that can't really be quantified, right. if I'm being honest with you. And the Chris Tucker that we got now is Epstein Island Chris Tucker.
Oh, Lord.
Not Smokey.
Oh, Lord. Whew. Oh.
Whew. If I didn't know no better, I'd tell you he's the greatest. I don't care what you say. To be confident and not delusional is a real skill. Most of these confident people we see is really delusional.
Well, you don't think they asked Chris Tucker to come back in the second Friday? Smokey was all in Smokey. There ain't no Friday without Smokey.
We all agree to that. And there's no next Friday without Friday. And there's no Friday after next without Friday.
Nah, we talk about the role because you said that they don't...
Here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. Chris was allowed to make the decision. At the time that this is happening, Cat Williams is known for smoking weed. Willie Nelson is known for smoking weed. Right. Snoop's known for smoking weed. But none of us is really known except Willie. And I'm saying... Chris Tucker didn't want to be the poster child for smoking weed. He don't smoke weed like that.
Right.
He in the church. He Michael Jackson's best friend. Christmas. Michael Jackson called him Christmas. You ever met a man that gave you a little nickname like that?
No.
Mm-mm, me neither. Must be the greatest.
Man, I ain't gonna be able to get nobody back. I ain't gonna be able to get no more comedians.
They all coming.
No, they ain't.
Are you kidding?
Nah.
Hey, I promise
good thing
you.
I done got all the rest of them. I done got the ones.
I promise you, everybody trying to double back. You're gonna be having to beat them off with a stick. You won't let him. They're coming. Much as.
Now, it's interesting because he knows the mechanics of Hollywood. He says these people are paid to present things. Present agendas. And we talk about this on the show all the time about the mainstream media. The reason these rich people are buying the media is because media is here to create their reality. They are the modern day magicians. They're trying to create their version of reality and they need you to believe them. And in 2020, for whatever reason, people started getting red pilled and waking up to this. And now people don't really trust a lot of the mainstream institutions. And that's not to say we should burn it all to the ground and let Joe Schmo down the road tell us the truth about reality, but you do need to question these people and what they're saying. And that's what Cat Williams is trying to say. He says the whole job for some of these actors and celebrities is to present things. And he could be referring to about how people lied about Cat Williams in the past to present this image. Oh, he's just addicted to drugs and he's a mess. Particularly Kevin Hart did it on The Breakfast Club. He straight up said that. I don't know. I believe Cat Williams in all this. I really do. call me a conspiracy theorist. He was, they asked if, Shannon asked if Chris Tucker was offered the job. Cat Williams said that Chris Tucker wasn't really about that life anyway. He wasn't really a smoker anyway. He was a Christian, not that you can be a Christian that smokes, but he was more into the church and hanging out with Michael Jackson, who gave him this little cute pet nickname of Christmas, which I don't know if Cat's implying that there was some homosexual activity there. I don't know what he's implying there. I think that's what he's implying. Shannon says that Shannon said, I'm not going to be able to have any other comedians on this show because Cat Williams is airing folks out. But Cat, correctly so and prophetically so, I believe, says, no. Everyone's going to come out of the woodworks for this now. Everyone's going to be fighting to get on this show. Oprah's coming next. And I think he's right. Next clip. He talks about Joe Rogan. How dare you? Don't you talk about Joe Rogan like this. He talks about Joe Rogan and let's see what else. Oh, and then he talks about gatekeepers. And this is also an interesting statement. Take a listen.
And it was a great wild, wild west time to be involved in comedy. And the same is true for Def Jam because hip hop was a fad at one time. And hip hop ain't gonna last. And why are you doing that? And that's how it was for blue comedy. Mm-hmm. If you were a comedian that cussed, you were ridiculed by the mainstream comedy geist. Mm-hmm. That would be like me being on Joe Rogan. Joe don't want me on there. I need to be on Shannon. Joe got six comedians that never been funny. He want to push out. But that's really how it is. I'm so sorry I'm competitive. You an athlete, right?
I can tell.
You understand.
Will there ever be another Comic View, Def Comedy Jam? Could that in today, in 24, 25, 26, could we see that again?
They've already announced it. It's already going. You didn't know?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Kevin Hart purchased it, so he's now doing Comic View. That happened at the same time that they gave DC Young Fly Hollywood Squares.
Where?
Yeah, because they tell you that there's no gatekeepers, but we keep seeing the same people open the gate. Didn't Kevin open the gate and let Tiffany in? Ain't he now opening it up for... Don't such and such open the gate? What do you mean ain't no gatekeepers? There's 100 gates out here.
Would you?
Everyone I've seen got a keeper.
He talks about Joe Rogan only letting six unfunny comics on his show. And when this clip was released on Twitter, I saw Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat Podcast. Shout out to the boys over at Tinfoil Hat. Sam Tripoli said, that's not true. Like, Joe Rogan would let him on there. And then Joe Rogan, in fact, come out and said, Kat, you're welcome to come on my show anytime. So, puts me in a weird spot there because I want to believe Cat Williams. But then, you know, Sam's my dog. And Joe Rogan, I love Joe Rogan. You don't get Isaac Weishaupt without Joe Rogan. He's one of the early influences that made me start podcasting after, you know, I'd been blogging. I wrote a book. I handed Joe Rogan my first book. I handed it to him in 2013. I think it was what year it was. He was at a comedy show, and I handed it to him afterward. I don't know whatever became of it. He never called me, so. In fact, I'd be terrified if he called me. I don't know if I could handle 3 hours of Joe Rogan questioning everything I said because he's a smart dude, right? But it's interesting because he talks about Kevin Hart being a gatekeeper, and he says it's funny how they talk about there's no gatekeepers, yet you see people opening the gates constantly. And that's one of those things that we got to think about for some time in the future. When we do future shows here, we're going to think about that, keep that in the back of the mind. Who's the gatekeepers? How comes we get the same people showing up all the time? All right, and the next clip, this is one of my favorite clips on the whole 3-hour deal here. He talks about how, because this is one of the controversies in the conspiracy world, particularly about how we can or can't use certain words. And some people, a lot of conspiracy folks will say, oh, this is social Marxism and stuff. And I've always tried to find that balance between it. I said, no, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, we should have freedom of speech. We should be allowed to say whatever words we want. But we also need to identify and understand that some people are hurt by these words, the N word, the R word, right? And I've never been able to express that in a way that sort of made sense, and he does a great job of it. And look, I'm not the censorship police. I don't care. Other people can say the word all they want. I don't care. Like, just me as a, from a personal standpoint, I try not to, you know, say the words that would hurt other people, because I don't want that. I want everyone to come together. I'm not looking for division. And it's just not, I don't know. It's a tough conversation sometimes. But listen to what he says about that. And then he talks about how his one goal when he tried to get famous, listen to what his one goal is. Take a listen.
You're talking about the special needs. That's good.
That's a different
time. That's some clever material.
That was a different time, Cat.
No, it wasn't. It was the time I was there.
But I'm saying.
That time, this time, same times.
No, but I'm saying.
Just like people that tell you the Egyptians, they're not black. Egypt is in Africa, folks. As long as Egypt is in Africa, then Egyptians are African.
Do you believe you could tell the same jokes today as when you started out? I mean, Eddie Murphy not telling those jokes. Richard Pryor wouldn't be able to tell those jokes in 2024 that they told in the 70s and the 80s.
So they wouldn't have told them.
But that's my point.
They're not inferior people.
No.
If they were in this time, they would be going according to our time. Just like then, we were going according to that. Like, that's how it is in the world. There are words that we can use for a while. And when we use them for a while until somebody says, that ain't a good word, we should stop saying that.
Correct.
That don't make people feel good. And we stop saying the word. And we move on to another word. You can't say the R word. You can certainly say special needs.
Yeah.
You can certainly say spectrum.
He's slow.
There are things that you can say to get your point that don't have to hurt people.
Right.
But you would know that if what you did was construct the English language for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would understand that part.
Now, it's interesting because Cat Williams says, look, we can't say the R word. We can say special needs. And Shannon says, you can say slow. Shannon, I don't know if you could say slow. I kind of think that's probably not one of the right words. But hey, you know what? Like, Shannon's an older dude. He's a jock. He's been playing football many years. So we'll give him a pass. I don't know if that's an appropriate term either, Shannon. But I always try to put this whole censorship thing of certain words into perspective. Like, the older generation, they grew up in a different time, right? Their vocabulary was completely different. So, I mean, they're not saying the hard R N word. Like, that's pretty good. Good job, buddy. I know when they were growing up, that was a common parlance term. So, I appreciate that. But they'll still say Oriental. And it's like, you know, I talk to people in my personal life that are boomers. And I'm like, you're not supposed to say Oriental. Like, that's offensive to Asian people. And they're like, what the hell? I can't say nothing, you know. It's like you kind of got to give and take a little bit. Like, okay. Like, you grew up in a different environment. You're doing your best, right? And they'll be like, oh, the colored people. It's like, well, hey, you can't really say that either. And like, what word am I supposed to use, you know? So I do have compassion for older folks when they're trying to, you know, they're trying. Next clip, they talk about Dave Chappelle walking away from the $50 million because infamously Dave Chappelle had this huge show called The Chappelle Show. Season 3 was starting to record, and he went crazy, as the media says, and went to Africa and was losing his mind. That's what the media told us, right? And we know since then that Dave Chappelle's been sort of metaphorically telling us, no, dude, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of shady business happening. And he doesn't really come out and explicitly say it. But Cat Williams talks about this. Take a listen. This is a juicy clip.
Dave Chappelle walked away from $50 million. You said it was more. Tell the story.
That's right.
I'm going to let you tell it.
No, you're
No,
the best.
I want you to tell it.
You really are the best. You're proving it here today. As much as I'm proving it, you're proving it. Yeah, that wasn't the thing. It wasn't, people say that. He lost $50 million. No, that's not even close to what happened to this dude. And until you understand what happened to the dude, you don't understand what happened. Like, no, not they offered him $50 million and he turned it down. Who gonna turn down $50 million? Now, I've had to turn down $50 million 4 times. 4 times. Just to protect my integrity and that virgin hole I was telling you about. Right. Because P. Diddy be wanting to party. And you gotta tell him no. I did. See, I got the receipts for everything I'm telling you. That's why I can say them so freely.
Can I need another one? You here, get your
number too, sir. Thank you.
Come on.
Because early on you was accusing me of being
Cat. Man. Cat. Yeah.
crazy.
I mean, but you know, some of these people.
Martin tried to put me in my first dress. When he had to go on his hiatus, he tell me, Cat, when I come back, I need you. You my young partner. You my brother in comedy. When I come back, just promise me that my next movie, it'll be me and you. We gonna do it together. We gonna do some buddy cop shit. I said, Martin, you got my motherfucking word, my nigga. Go do what you gotta do. When you come back, I'm in your movie. Don't trip. I don't need to see the script or nothing. You know, we get in that office and this fool pull out Big Mama's House too. I almost died. And I gotta read this script in front of all these good white people. Where this nigga want me to get in a dress with him. And I'm literally saying to everybody, why is he in a dress again? You already played the old lady as an FBI agent. We can play anything now. We can be playing a dog catcher this time. Why do we need to be in a dress? And I get so mad, I say, you don't want me. You want Brandon T. Jackson. And that's who they went and got. Twice I said it, they went and got him. Just like I'm telling you, I had that other dude's work. I had all of it. All I did was say, I want to punch it up so it's not offensive to real niggas. And that's how I got in this position.
Now, didn't I say Diddy was going to get shut down in 24? Cat Williams added fuel to that fire. Said Diddy was trying to get at him. He said that Martin Lawrence, he's talking about Martin Lawrence, right? And talking about how Martin wanted Cat Williams to get into a dress, but he wasn't going to. And that's one of his things. He's like, look, I'm not going to act as a homosexual. I'm not going to get raped. I'm not going to dress up as a female. That's just not, it doesn't resonate with him and his upbringing or whatever, right? And it was just his thing. He said, look, we can be funny without these things, these emasculating things. And this is interesting because Dave Chappelle talked about this on Inside the Actor's Studio many years ago about this whole situation when he said about how, you know, Martin Lawrence was kind of supposedly going crazy. And Dave Chappelle specifically said, look, they tried to get me to wear a dress. And he's like, I'm not wearing a dress. And he said, why do they do this? Why are they trying to emasculate strong men, strong black men? And he said, these studios, they act like the lie is that they're saying, oh, this would be hilarious. People think this is funny. And they stand up for themselves and say, like, no, that's not, first off, that's not funny. I'm a comedian and that's not funny. Rape isn't funny. And I'm not doing that. So they'll find someone who will do it. Someone who's willing to sell out, sign that contract. Next clip, they talk about cancel culture. And, you know, Cat Williams, of course, says, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. And particularly they talk about Matt Rife. And the idea of cancel culture, Cat says, is like, look, you sign a deal with these folks. The deal, part of the deal is they'll take you down at whatever time they want for whatever you want, they want. Take a listen.
The canceling. What do you think about this cancel culture? You see the situation with Jonathan Majors. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I don't know if maybe he can bounce back in a couple of years. But man, he was hot. He was hot. He was cooking. I mean, you see him in Creed. He's in the Marvel movies, and then just like that.
Maybe I'm a conspiracy theory, but I thought Cat Williams said any time they make you into that position, part of that contract is you do understand whenever we want to take you down, we can, right? Part of giving you the world. First of all, they went around the world for 2 years straight telling any women that would listen that this was a good-looking Negro. Mm-hmm. Since when? When did y'all start liking a big nose? And when did y'all like a little head and a big jaw? When? Since when? That look like my daddy. When you start liking my daddy? You like black people's features like that? If this ugly nigga is good looking, then all niggas is good looking. Anytime you see them telling you something you can't believe, just understand it's a play. And it don't matter. You gonna know it's a play as soon as they get in that position and think they's gonna tell somebody something. No, you're not. No, you're not. Marvel will cancel you you won't be allowed to read a comic book. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Get out of here, ugly boy. Yeah, they love fooling the people.
It's part of the contract. Anytime you see something you don't believe, just know it's a play. It's a psyop. We talk about psyops and ritual theater of Hollywood and pop culture. I would like to know what he thinks about the Will Smith Chris Rock slap. I think they actually talk about that on the show. I don't remember if he answered the question directly though. But he says the idea that like there is a bit of ritual theater behind all these things and things that the cabal gets off on showing you one thing that isn't real and trying to get you to believe it is real. Again, the idea of ritual magic, magically creating the world which they envision. Last clip, and it's pretty on the nose here. He's starting to talk about Ludacris and about how they went to the crossroads and were approached by the Illuminati. And, you know, Kevin Hart did the same thing, and about how the Illuminati made a deal with Ludacris. Take a listen.
Let me go to this question right here. Question
All people that love the truth got to be happy if the truth coming out and lies is getting exposed. That's just what time it is. 2024, folks.
Are you related to Luda?
No. So there was a crossroads where we were both invited to an Illuminati thing, and it had to be one or the other of us, and decisions had to be made. So it was both of us, we were equal. One of us had to cut off all their hair and couldn't do the sideburn thing no more with the points. And the next person they said was going to get $200 million because they were gonna pay him $10 million a movie to do 20 movies. And that's how the conversation happened. One of those persons turned out to be Ludacris, and the other person turned out to be Cat Williams. Now, one person ended up with a light-skinned, ugly-faced wife that's never done a... Remember I told you that if I say that, it applied to seven people?
Yes.
It's part of what they give you. Okay? I didn't get it. I'm not mad about it.
How much money did they give? 200?
Sir, Fast and Furious is on what number right
10.
Now?
10. 200 million, I might need to get me one of the more women look the same.
That's what they all end up saying at the end of the day. Kevin told you he wasn't going to wear no dress until they offered him the dress, and then he put it on. And what did he say after he wore it? I made my own decision. Duh. But you didn't make it before they brought it up, did you? It's okay. It's all right.
You have a lot of politics.
Never talk about it. I'm not that controversial.
So the crossroads is officially where Robert Johnson, the blues singer, made a deal with the devil for his ability to play the guitar. So it's interesting. He said they went to the crossroads for this Illuminati thing. And I wish Shannon would have said, tell me more about this. What's the crossroads? Who's the Illuminati? What does the scene look like? And they told him, they told Ludacris he couldn't do the pointy sideburns because that's what he used to do back in the day. And he was going to get this movie deal, make $200 million. And they say that they made these people like Ludacris and Kevin Hart, they say, well, they made their own decision. And Kevin Cat Williams says, well, it wasn't really. It was they said, hey, here's the deal. You sign the deal. You make this money, but you got to do what we say. So it's not really their choice. And that's kind of where it wraps up. But there's a whole lot more to this. You should listen to the whole thing if you got the time. But there's other things they talk about, like, Katz asked about Zuckerberg building a bunker, and he says, look, if you got $1 billion, you can do whatever you want. You do it, and then you tell them you just did it. And he says, well, what does Zuckerberg know? And Cat Williams says they know that the world leaders who hold the keys to the nukes aren't that smart. They're just common idiots, and I believe that. There's some questionable things that he says. Like, he talks about when he was a boy, he read 3,000 books a year. That's a lot of books. What is that, almost 10 books a day? I don't know. It's hard to believe. Said he read the whole encyclopedia set. Something about getting accepted into college before he was even in high school. But Cat Williams is very intelligent. When you hear him talk, he is very intelligent. So he's not making up that he's a smart dude. I just don't know. Like, it's kind of hard to believe someone would read that many books, but maybe. And he implies that he doesn't go to strip clubs. And then later he says, well, yeah, when I go to new cities, I go to the strip club. So I don't know, man. It's, but he was drinking a lot. They were drinking a lot of he had some kind of cognac there or something. So who knows, right? I don't know how much of that was just trying to be sensational. I don't know. He says some interesting things about women. He seems to be kind of a feminist, which was cool. He says he likes to work with women, prefers the company of women to men, and like that's cool. I appreciate that. That's cool. Because I enjoy talking to women as well, so I get where he's coming from. There's a necklace also he's wearing. Let's talk about the necklace. A lot of people are searching the internet. I was. What does his necklace say? It says, from what I can see, woke folk. And he made a post on Instagram in 22, and the caption just said woke folk. So I don't know what it means. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's one of his jokes and I don't remember it. I've seen all of his specials, but I certainly don't recall every joke. And this is part of the, and look, I'm used to defending this term because woke has been a very controversial weaponized term. Because I, as you know, for 10 years now, I'm on my 10th year of podcasting, I do a sign off of stay woke, right? Because the term has changed definitions over the years. And it originated, I'm going to read you from the Washington Post. They had a whole article about this. It says it originated in the deepest trenches of black nationalism. Black leaders have been calling on black people to wake up for decades. To the first users of the word, it meant recognizing racial subjugation committed by whites. Thus, a white YouTuber or a liberal congressperson cannot by definition be woke. In fact, wokeness was originally applied to U.S. blacks who had been mentally conditioned into philosophical slumber by centuries of oppression, intimidation, miseducation, and social frustration. So you're probably thinking, well, Isaac, you're a white dude. Why are you using it? Well, I'm using it because I think all of us are subject to, I think it's a class warfare thing. I don't think it's a race. I think there's a racial component, but I do think there's a class warfare of, you know, there's, what do you call it, like a hierarchy of things here. And I think we're all facing conditioning, mental conditioning to oppress us, miseducate, frustrate us, promote division. Like, that's exactly what it is to me. And I know everyone who's a right winger or a Fox News watcher said, no, no. Even Bill Maher, who I've seen every episode of Real Time with Bill Maher, he's been on a campaign to talk about how awful woke stuff is. And according to his definition of woke, like, I agree with him. This idea of like being so open-minded, your brain falls out. That's what Carl Sagan talked about. Like, yes, that's the bad version of woke. My woke is different. And it sucks that I face my own little crossroads. I had to face the choice of, do I keep this as my sign-off? And I got rid of it for a bit, and then someone was talking to me about it, and they was like, no, dude, this is your thing. Don't kowtow to it. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm not. We're just going to keep rocking with it. So here I am. And I'm happy to see Cat Williams rocking with it, too. I think that's what he's doing. But Cat Williams, he talks about in the interview being bullied by the media, portrayed as a criminal and a drug abuser, but he's actually none of those things. Because he's the one coordinating, funding, setting up his comedy specials. He's done, I think he said 16 of them or 12 of them or something like that. And he's right. Like, if you were a real mess and on drugs all the time, you wouldn't be able to do that. So that does make sense. Because I was also under the impression, I thought, man, Cat, you know, just catching random TMZ stuff. It's like, yeah, this guy's always in trouble. Like, what's his deal? Get it together, man. And he's saying, like, no, this is the media lying to you. And I believe him. He talks really good stuff about how he tries to empower people to be their own boss and not go under his label and do under his bidding and take a cut of their stuff. He's like, no, I teach people how to like do it on their own, because he's one of these independent sort of artists. Just like he was friends with Prince. Prince was the same way. A lot of people who get into the entertainment biz, they talk about you need to be in control of your own thing. Let's see, what else here? Oh, they talk about Kanye West. He doesn't support or villainize Kanye West. You know, I go back and forth too. He says, look, they told this guy, they pumped him up, told him he was a genius and he's God and he's Jesus all these years. Yeah, at the same time, they say, oh, he's got mental illness. And it's like, well, if he's got mental illness, then why are we condemning every action? Like, he's got mental illness, which, fair take. At the end, he talks about, Shannon asked him about politics. And again, I'm eye to eye with Cat Williams here. He says these two options they're presenting us with, neither one of them are good. Nobody's happy with them. In fact, I think I literally just talked about this on my last show, the 2023 wrap-up show. Was it the last show? I don't remember. Recently, I talked about this. Like, If anything proves there's some kind of Illuminati coordinated agenda, it's this. Like, of course, there's fringy people that love either candidate, sure. But, like, on the whole, most people are like, I don't want to deal with none of this stuff. I don't want the drama that comes with Trump. I don't want Biden because he's so old and he's just, like, getting goofy. It's like, can't we have someone else? Like, these guys are in their 80s or whatever, right? And that's kind of what Kat says. He says, look, one can barely speak and the other will do whatever someone tells him to, right? If they, because it's true. You gas up Donald Trump, he's going to do whoever's the bidding of whoever is gassing him up. And they talk about, Cat Williams says, all division divides, and that's the goal, right? And he said the founding fathers, they did not have a vision of a two-party system in America. There's supposed to be many parties, and that is the truth. There have been and there always has been many different parties, but the two are gangs, and they've ganged up, and they've taken over. They've dominated, and they both do the bidding of the same masters. That's what David Icke's been telling us all these years. And a good analogy, Cat Williams says, it's like football, you know, the offense and the defense, they're supposed to be on the same team. And, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats are supposed to be on the same team, America's team, but we're fighting amongst each other. They're supposed to be against the opposing team, not the people on your team. We're all Americans here. So it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, interesting interview. And if you want to listen to the whole thing, there's pop culture drama galore on this thing. He talks about Steve Harvey stealing jokes and lying about the late Bernie Mac, the great Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer, Ricky Smiley, Kevin Hart, of course, Joe Rogan, of course. And everyone's responding. No one's letting it go. Ricky Smiley responded on his morning show, apparently. I didn't hear it, but I saw a summation of it, and they said Ricky Smiley was going on and on, but he never denied any of the claims made by Cat Williams. Cat Williams said on the show, he said, it's because I got the receipts. None of these people can say nothing. Kevin Hart and the Plastic Cup Boys, I don't know who they are. I saw a clip. They were on some sports ball show mocking Cat Williams, you know, in response to this. And previously on The Breakfast Club, there's a clip Kevin Hart claimed, and I think this is why Cat started tearing into him, is because Kevin Hart claimed that Cat Williams is the one that effed himself, doing drugs and not showing up and showing up late, which is exactly what Cat Williams said. This is what they do. They lie about you. And Cat Williams is, I'm a very professional person. And the track record shows he is. It's the truth. And Kevin Hart was saying about how, you know, he's helping people under his brand. He's helping bring people up. And that, you know, Kat saying, like, you're a gatekeeper, though. And you're keeping the people under your brand, whereas Kat is teaching people how to do it on their own, to be their own boss. And then finally, Ludacris did an atrocious freestyle over responding, not saying a thing. Almost supporting what Kat says, because he's talking about how he's got all these things, you know, and he's freestyling over the beat of Devil in a New Dress, a Kanye West beat, which is a curious choice because Kat Williams talks a lot about spiritual warfare and Satan and the devil and how these people are aligning themselves with the devil. And then also Kat Williams talked a lot about men wearing dresses. Surely that beat was chosen on purpose. But an interesting response. Ice Cube responded in a 9-minute response that took forever to get there. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I was like, oh, is he even going to say anything? I don't know. I got to watch it. Too much to unpack. There's a lot. But nobody's saying Cat Williams is lying. They're just attacking him or joking about it. Interesting start of 2024, folks. I mean, we're off to a wild start. So, yeah. Stay subscribed to my show because this is going to be your place to go when you want to unpack and decode the Illuminati and the pop culture, because we're going to get a lot of it. We're also going to cover aliens and UFOs because that's part of the whole agenda this year, preparing you for 2025, which I talked about in my book 7 years ago. I talked about aliens becoming the endorsed by the powers that be, the government, and paving the way for a Luciferian world government. I talked about that in 2017 in my book, The Dark Path. All right. And that's exactly what's happening. the conspiracy people are always right, it turns out. You know what I'm saying? So stay subscribed to my show. We got lots of bangers coming out this year. If you want to support the show and go ad-free, you know where to go. Links are always in the show notes. You can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, where you'll also get a copy of The Dark Path that I'm talking about. And I did a Dark Path book club. You'll unlock hundreds of bonus episodes like those. You can do Apple Premium. You just mash the button and you're in. Or check out IlluminatiWatcher.com, my website. I've got the VIP section. Get in and wise up. Until next time, stay woke.